I'm going to be just taking some excerpts here from Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34. But I'm talking about living and functioning in the moment. It's a great ability that God gives us that we can just live in the present moment, not be worrying about down here or this down there or that over there, but just tuning into the Lord, getting what the Holy Spirit is saying, and going with that. And so in the light of that, there's things, there's pitfalls, there's problems in it. I call this living in the Spirit. It's the same as living in the present moment, watching what God will do, and trusting that I don't have to do anything right now. I'll just wait on the Lord and see what He wants to do. But there's dangers, and the dangers, I wrote down five of them. Notice this in chapter 6, verse 25. Don't be anxious, verse 25. Anxious, verse 27. Anxious, verse 28. Anxious, verse 31. Anxious, verse 34. Are you getting Jesus said this all in the same passage? Do not be anxious. It's a command. And I won't be able to stay in the present if I let worry overwhelm me. And I must deal with that. But it's dealt with again by the Apostle Paul. He gives us five exhortations for our life from Matthew's gospel. Philippians chapter 2, or chapter 4 rather, it's a wonderful thing. He says that don't be anxious about everything, but with everything, present your needs to Him. And so we've got this picture again of not being anxious, not being worried, not being upset. I don't always do it well. Sometimes I do it really well. And I'm just trusting the Lord. And other moments, Val says, you're looking stressed. And I realize that maybe I've felt, she says, you get lines across here when you're stressed. And we've all been stressed, right? You know what that's like. And you look for ways to de-stress if you can. But there's a great need. And one thing I think we learned this year is the need to trust the Lord and take the next step. Right, that's trust the Lord. Right, it's not in your notes, so write this down if you're writing. Trust the Lord and take the next step, whatever it would be. Just saying, I'm going to stay right under God's care and just His wonder of me. He loves me. He loves you, and so we have this need to trust Him, take the next step. But we say, you just do it by faith. And whether it's that job or whether it's your health and you have to go get a check on something, you just say, Lord, I'm going to trust you. The problem is, though, is that we live often in the past about the good old days. Well, it used to be really good. That was, and it's not good anymore. And you're upset and you're angry that this is not the same anymore. No, it never really is. It's and living beyond in the future of that great day when things come together, I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when my mortgage is paid off. I'll be happy when the kids are in school. I'll be happy when I finally find a boyfriend or a girlfriend. I'll be fine when I get my new car. But it's always either in the past or in the future instead of the present of just trusting the Lord. See, this is then I'll be happy. But you might be happy, but you won't be living in the present moment. The great value of that. The other day, Val was going to do some baking, and she had it all planned. She's very organized that way. There's a list everywhere. There's lists all over, and I'm a bit listless. So she has lists, and so she had the plan. There's others who are just like her. You have to have the plan, and so she's in the midst of the plan, right? It's on schedule. It's being followed through, and knock, knock, next thing it's changed altogether, and I don't really know the individual, but I've got to know them, and we kind of say, now, I knew that she would be wondering what she should do, so she decided to stay in the present moment. Well, I didn't plan this. It's not on the list. But nevertheless, I'll just take it from here. to see where that will go. Well, you know, that thing, I can't get into all the details of it, but it was really, I told her, I said, you know, you were just in the center. You were just picking it up and going with it. I said, it was wonderful to see that. She was really at peace and just say, okay, looks like the plan's not going to work, so we might as well go with plan two and see where that takes us. And it worked. Actually, it worked out very, very well, and there's going to be some wonderful things that come out of that, I'm sure. And so we're not waiting till we're happy. We're waiting on the Lord, and it's thankfulness, and that's the next point. Thankfulness and gratitude are, you say, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for working in my life. Lord, I don't know where this is going. Take a left turn at Albuquerque or something, you know, and all of a sudden you're off. It seems like you're off track. So that's the, but you keep looking to the Lord and being thankful. Say, if you don't be thankful, you'll be off. It won't track well. It's the thankful, something about thankfulness and gratitude, where I'm so grateful. And by the way, and I'm still talking about it last Sunday, but we went home and we were so grateful for you. So grateful. See, that's how you thrive. So you say, thank you, God. Thank you that I've been part of a church. It's a great church. Thank you, God. Thank you for Marcel. He's a great guy. A calling on his life, and he's going to do superb. Thank you, God. Right? So that's how that works. And if you don't, then you're living back, well, it was better last time we did this. I don't, you know, or you're looking too far ahead. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, you're not going to do anything, maybe. You're just going to wait on the Lord, and then when you kind of get clearance, that you say, I'm going to stay in the moment. God seems to be guiding. God seems to be doing something. And I want to follow what God's doing, don't you? Isn't that how it works? We want to follow what God's doing. We don't want to be off on that. So thankfulness and gratitude, day by day, but not going beyond, just going far enough. And I find the Lord, he shines the flashlight, but he doesn't shine it far enough. At least that's my take. He shines it and we say, oh, this is good. Can we just go a little further ahead here? Well, I can't quite see it all. And he doesn't. He stays just far enough so that we're wondering where it's going to go. And there's lots going to be more said about it. I'll come back to that. Psalm 103, verse 1 to 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So being mindful of this thing, I remember Brother Art Shepherd. He was a pastor too, but he was also an evangelist. And God used him really quite powerfully. But one time he was praying, and he read this verse, and he was teaching on it as well. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And he said, hallelujah, Lord, the benefits. There's wonderful benefits. Hallelujah, glory to God, benefits. And he said, oh, I think I'm going to have a benefit right here. And there he was in this one. He was praising the Lord and right in one spot there in this church. And I thought, well, I can't say anything wrong about it. He was blessing the Lord and trusting the Lord. And he wouldn't forget all the benefits of serving God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Through him, let us offer, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, continuously. You bless his name. You thank him. You start your day. You bring the sacrifice of praise. Now it's a sacrifice. It's not what you think. It's not going to necessarily work out. Matter of fact, some of you don't. You're just praising him, and you by faith just trust God that this is going to be in the right direction. That is the fruit of my lips that acknowledge his name. And we say, boy, that's wonderful. Be part of something. So what do? We praise the Lord. We bless his name. And it just gets, I look back at my life, how many things, when we finally broke through in praise in the Lord, right, where we just said, I'm going to bless the Lord with all of my heart and see what God will do. Well, there's something about praise is different than prayer. Have you not noticed that? It's different. It comes across different. It works differently. But sacrifice, breakthroughs come when we bring the sacrifice. And we bring it and we present it to the Lord and the fruit of our lips. And then we can pray after that. But it's important that we give that sacrifice. Don't feel like it at all. I say, what's the point? I don't even know if I may lose my job. My girlfriends are going to leave. This is not happening. I've lost money on this. I shouldn't have spent all my money. And that's what they present. That's not a sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise is, Lord, I'm blessing you, and I'm going to praise you beyond. If you answer this prayer, that's fine. If you don't, that doesn't matter to me, because I'm trusting you. I'm staying right in the center. I'm just going to wait on you. See what you'll do. See where you'll take me. But I'm gonna trust you, and I will not be angry at you. You say, well, what's the point of serving God? What's the point of serving God if He doesn't do what you want? Well, yeah, I get what you're saying, but it works a lot better when you bring the sacrifice of praise, and just bless Him and praise Him and thank Him and see what'll happen. I find in my own private room, at home, there's a little room, but I found the other day I was praising God, and I was, I'm a walker. I can't sit here. My mind is like a short attention span or something like that, because I can't stay too focused too long. But I can walk and pray, and so I found myself just walking back and forth. Just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you, praise you. Hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, what you're going to do. I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you, only to you. And back and forth praising the Lord and being able to stay in the focused because of that, of just having a short space to walk and talk. And it's valuable. If I was outside, you could do it outside, I suppose. But it's bringing that sacrifice and watching what God will do because of that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Again, the antidote. This is the antidote to our problems. Give thanks in all circumstances. Whatever it is, just give thanks for that. And see, again, watch what the Lord will do. Number 3, let go of anything other than the present moment. Just let it go and say, oh, I'm going to figure it out. I don't know what to do. Don't do anything. Just rest in Him. Rest in Him. And this is a Holy Spirit moment. It's what God waits for, I think. I think He really does. And so I let go. So finally I say, Lord, I'm not going to do anything. Although I'm anxious and I'm trying to... I'm starting to do stuff, but I shouldn't, because I want to trust in the Lord. And so, but if, I find that if you're trying to make something happen, you'll regret it. Just stay where, if you feel right now that you're in the center of what God's doing, stay there. Just trust Him. And now, if there's other situations, that would be okay too. But I think there's something about letting go of everything. So just let it go. Just let it go. Yeah, but I wanted that job. Just let it go. Stay in the center. Stay focused. It's wonderful to be focused, isn't it? Focused on Scripture, focused on each other and blessing each other. It's powerful, actually. Letting go of any thought that is unrelated to the present moment. Because otherwise you're worried and trying to deal with things that are way down the road, and it's not, you're out of focus now, and you want to get back into that spot. At least I do in my life, and I find it very helpful. And, well, more I can say. Philippians chapter 4, verse 9. Again, the Scriptures are full of this. It's wonderful stuff. He says, think about these things. Think on these things. That's from Philippians. About these things. And the result of that, the peace of God will be with you. Well, that's pretty heady stuff. The peace of God will be with you. Philippians 4, 9. And when you walk and drive, here's the thing. Pay attention to what's around you and to the people that are around you and see what will happen. Pay attention to the scenery. Some people never see scenery. Was it yesterday or was it this morning? Can't remember. Anyway, a blue jay landed right on the patio, looking out the window or looking into the window. And Val and I love blue jays. They're really smart. They're highly intelligent. I'm carrying conversation with one probably. They're just really, they're really amazing. They're like the crows. Those crows are smart. How do they know to take a nut or something and fly up 30 feet, get the right angle, and then let it go? Who taught him that, right? One smart bird. Well, he wasn't that smart because he just about lost his life this morning or yesterday, whenever that was. Because the cat that we look after, but it's not our cat, but we look after this cat as the years go by. And that cat saw that blue jay. You know how they do that? You know, they can just snapping away there. I tell you, if he could have gone out through the glass, he would have. That was one amazing moment. I thought, I wouldn't want to have missed that. That was incredible. It was just amazing. Well, there's all kinds of amazing things. And I think that behooves us to look for that which is, you may not spot it right away, but it's beautiful if you can't. Scenery, the birds, the sky. This been one of those wonderful fall seasons we've had? The color, you know, you say, well, that's a peach or something. What color is that? And just when you say, I don't know what it is, only God could have done the thing. He could have, and who else is going to? You see, it was pink. It wasn't really pink. It was red. It wasn't really red. It wasn't anything. It was a God color. I don't remember seeing that color. Whatever it must have been, just been the temperatures. And Valet, every time we went somewhere, she'd take a picture of it. I'm taking a picture of this so we can remember what this looked like, because a few more months from now, there won't be that same scenery. But it's just wonderful to be able to be watching, noticing, thinking, and even with people, for that matter. The people who are nearest, near you, you know, you go to pace to go out of a store, and you're in touch. Carry on a conversation, and enjoy that conversation a lot. But the people near us, that's who you focus on. And you don't let see who God's brought into your life. See who anything interesting that you find. You say, wow, this wasn't planning on this. No, but it's happened. So, I could talk all day. And this is an important thing. Most people don't notice other people around them, and therefore they can't necessarily always stay in the center. So we say, thank you, Lord, for the people in my life. Thank you, Lord, for the people in my life. And that we would show our gratitude regularly. Just saying something to them. Maybe going, having a talking to them. I find that church is one of the best places just to connect and be able to go up to that person and say, I just wanted you to know that I really appreciate you. I really appreciate how God's made you and how he uses you and that. And I'm just, you know, just saying that. No, they go home. They're flying. They're flying. They can't believe it. This person took a moment out of their life and to show gratitude and anything else that would be on their heart. So I wrote this question. How's your appreciation list? How's your appreciation list? Do you find that you're writing things down? I appreciate that person. I'm going to make a little note of that. Just going to make a little note. And the day will come, the moment will come. May not be today, maybe down the road a ways, but you'll have a chance to show your gratitude. And it'll be just right for that person, right? They'll be encouraged and they'll be strengthened. It's wonderful. So I guess what I'm driving at here is that it's really important. I think it is anyway. And I've tried to model that in some ways, but here it is. Enjoy every day of your life. Enjoy every day of your life. There's not many of them. That it's really important to have an attitude of gratitude about that individual, so that you don't have any grudges over people. I say, no, I don't have any grudges. I wish I could know that person better. But enjoy every day of your life. I know people like that. They live life to the full. They're Christians. They love the Word and they love the Holy Spirit moving, but they're just ordinary people. And wow, they are living well. They're noticing what's around them. What it does for you, takes the focus, when you have an attitude of gratitude, takes the focus off your situation and on to the Lord and His Word. I'm reading it. I just so happen to be reading in Matthew's Gospel. Man, I found some verses in there that I was really blessed by that. I thought, how did I miss that? But that was a beautiful verse. An amazing verse, in fact. So even in the midst of trials, remember this, how it works. It does not say, and that's because everything goes well for you and so on and forth and so on. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of the tribulation, there will be trials and tribulations, because you can even tell me about them now. You've had them. You had lots of them, right? It was a crisis. You didn't know whether to do this or to pray or what you should do. And it seemed out of your reach and out of your hand. And you just say, boy, it really wears you. Yes, it does. It does. But in the midst of the trial, you take note of what is happening and see what God's up to, even in the middle of that moment when it's not very pleasant, not very easy. When you lose somebody or there's some crisis in some way. So there was a lady years ago that she wrote a book. I read it back in 1878 to some of you. But the secret, it was called this. The secret the secret of the present moment. The sacrament of the present moment. Sacrament of the present moment. Meaning that this moment will never come by again. Even this day here. The day will come to an end, but it'll never be back again. This is why we listen to the Spirit, to make sure we don't miss anything. And the sacrament of the present moment said, this is a God thing. We watch what God is doing. Some days are better than other days, more interesting than other days. But when you trust the Lord for it, it's a really powerful thing. Isaiah 26 in verse 3 says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Stayed upon Jehovah. And one of the natural things that just flow out of the scriptures and out of the prayer time and out of the fellowship is that, de-stressing is one of the big popular buzzwords today. And I'm not talking about that. But I do see a place where people I know are really stressed. They're really hurting in that way. So this is where prayer comes in, where we invite the Holy Spirit to come alongside and to lift that depression or that distress upon them, and we're seeing what God will be up to. But prayer and the Scripture, it's a powerful de-stressor. I don't know. I think you know where I'd be? I would be at that building over there, not this building. If I didn't know the Lord and know the peace that He brings, that will keep Him in perfect peace. Well, we need to believe that. It's not just a nice slogan. It's not a slogan at all, in fact. But it's a powerful depressor or de-stressor that you just watch what will happen. They were just messed up and angry and frustrated. I say, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray? Well, has it got that bad? You can see the look. Has it got that bad? Didn't know it was that bad. I said, no, it won't hurt us to pray. Kneel down together. And to pray and say, God, my friend here is really, really anxious. And then to be able to pray and speak Scripture into that person's life. And I've never seen it ever any different. When you finish praying, you finish reading a verse, and you say, I'll keep praying for you, don't you? Or I'll keep praying for you. That person always and forever walks out of here differently. There's just something about taking time for people. It was just a little prayer that you gave, right? It was nothing profound. Anybody could have prayed that prayer, yeah. But you prayed it, and it works in someone else's life, and it de-stresses them in major ways. Where they go and say, "Well, I went here really, really worried and really anxious and really angry, all the things I had talked about," and he said, "But I feel different now. I feel different." Well. If we could keep gratitude and joy in our hearts, we'd be able to control our brains, I'm sure. That I wrote, I'm sure. Things will flow out of us when we our focus on the right areas. And so you live each day, and you catch this, you live each day as if it was your last. Because it could be. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, of course it could be. As if it was his last. You see, here's the thing. Here's the grip. Here's the thing that really true about this. That you don't know what tomorrow will bring. We're absolutely equal on this. We're the same level. You don't have a clue what's going to happen tomorrow. And hey, good news, I don't either. I don't either. What is your life? That's what James writes. What is your life? You think you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that. Oh, you may not be doing that at all. There may be something else, a whole other thing. And I don't mean to get false feelings here. I trust nothing. I hope you grow old with old age. But I know this, that James is writing under authority. He says, for you, what's your life? And he says, "What? You're a mist, M-I-S-T, a mist, and that appears for a little time, and then it vanishes." Wow. He said, that's what your life is. So you can't focus on the wrong thing. You focus on the right thing. And he said, what it ought to be, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. Brother Pritchard, my old mentor, I remember saying, well, we'll see you later, Brother Pritchard. Nice talking with you. See you later. He said, if the Lord wills. He wasn't wrong about that. One day that he didn't come back. He went to heaven. But he was very conscious of those things. If the Lord wills. One of the things that probably has the greatest impact, when we get a chance to talk to somebody, some people, individuals, you can minister on a very simple level, but it's profound. And that is that you focus on the person you're talking to. Most are very poor at it. Some are very good at it. And you can ask the question, if I was chatting with Marcel, do I have his full attention? Or does he have my full attention? That'd be a good question to ask. When you're talking to someone, praying with somebody, just to be able to say, to want that you are focused, that you're looking at them. And that's one of the things I've learned years and years ago in ministry, that you focus on the person nearest you and who needs the prayer, and you rivet your attention on them. And watch what, you know, and they'll say, you know, I felt listened to, I felt encouraged, I felt that the Lord was working in my life because of that. And people know, you know, I know it's just human nature, but I was talking to somebody and they're shaking my hand, but they found somebody more interesting. And, you know, they wander off. And I said, what was that about? So you know, you've done the same, I can tell. But do they have your full attention? It is very, very powerful. If you can stay tuned with a person and hear what they're, now you don't have to sell the farm or anything, but you're just, you know, you're listening because they matter. Because they matter. That's the answer. And you want them to know, I hear you. I can tell you're hurting. We're going to pray in a moment here, but I hear you right now. And I'm sorry you're hurting or I'm whatever else it would be. And watch what God would do. And you're just in the moment. I love those moments like that. I love those moments where you didn't plan it. It just breaks forth and you say, wow. And there's a conversation going on here and this thing happens there. And you say, man, that's living. Because it has to do with again, the transformation of people's lives. Well, enough we can say, but it's a matter of fact, I enjoy preaching and teaching and all that. But I actually like that moment that you didn't plan, where you just kind of came across somebody's path and they upon yours. And they knew it was a moment. And you knew it was a moment. And not to say, well, I better get going. Oh, it's not, stay with the flow. Watch what God will do. There will be some movement. There will be something that comes out of that. And especially if you show, they feel honored. When you value somebody, when you listen to somebody, they feel valued. They feel encouraged. They don't want to kill themselves anymore. They want to serve God. It breaks through. And to have anybody can do that if you care about somebody. Just be open and talk more about the Lord and them than you. I've done that where I talk the whole time and explain the tribulation and the second coming. For some reason, I felt compelled to say that. So, let me tell you more about the second coming of the Lord. They didn't want to hear about the coming of the Lord. They wanted to talk and to hear another human voice that would listen to them. And I don't know how Christians are. Maybe we're not that good at listening. But on the other hand, I can see that the value of, even if your car breaks down, and there you are, what are you going to do? You're going to go with the flow. See, I'm gonna stay right focused, and to see what the Spirit is up to, because the Holy Spirit is always up to something, isn't He? That's my take on it, and I don't even know. Someone asked me what Val and I are gonna do in the days ahead. We don't have a clue. For some reason, it just seemed to work out that way that we have no clue at all. Because that would make us clueless, I suppose. but it's just, and so what? Oh no, well I know this. I know we don't have any plans. And you can take that to the bank. That's the truth. We don't have any plans. But we decided we're just going to be obedient. When the Lord says do this, we'll do this. If He says stop, we'll stop. We'll stay in that spot. Stay there in that spot. And to be led of God to the greater things that He has for our lives. So stand with me, please, if you would. It's a great moment for all of us. It's a great moment to be alive. You have an opportunity. It's just to be used of God. To be imagined to be alive in Him. And I'm open. You're open. Watching what He does. Well, I mean, even look at the people here. It's fantastic. Now I'm gonna pray that the Lord will use you, use me. Because that's what life's about. That's what it's about. It's become, in my mind, even talking to our neighbor, it's crystal clear. There's one thing that's important here. The rest we'll have to just trust the Lord. But it'll be a journey, and it'll be a journey for you, for what God's, how He's working with you. And you may not even plan it. This is a wonderful thing. You kind of thought we're going to do this, and all of a sudden it's looking differently, and that's okay too. As you keep focused on that which is important, and there are things that are very important. And there'll be people, I'm talking too much, so let me pray for you. But I am absolutely convinced that when God puts His hand on you, He doesn't take it off. He carries on, and it might be you're facing a decision right here this week. If you would like some prayer, I would be glad to pray with you. Others might want to pray as well, but if you need prayer, I'd be glad to pray. But don't pray about ordinary things, because I don't just let it be the important thing. And I'm sure yours was, but just it's so. If you have a prayer though, that it's really serious prayer that you need help on. But God's in this place here today. I could feel Him. You could feel Him. And so we're going to invite Him just to as we close. So Heavenly Father, here we are, alive in Your hands and available to Your purposes. I thank You, Lord, that You've called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And Lord, the majority of us here probably don't have a clue what we're supposed to be doing, but we're trusting You that You know best, and You know the where, the when, the why. You know all of that. So we say yes to You. We say yes. Yes, we thank You for all the benefits of knowing You and serving You and loving You. Lord, it's fantastic. It's beautiful. And we pray, Lord, that this week that there will be all kinds of moments that we'll be in the center of all that you're doing. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We praise you and we thank you that this is something that you called us to, and we're blessing you and we're thanking you that that we're going to be used of you. All in everything, Lord, it'll be the way it's supposed to be. And so, Lord, I pray as I stretch forth my hand, I pray for everybody who's facing a medical problem, some situation with their body, and they're worried, and they're really, really worried. I pray, Lord, for someone who's been wounded and hurt and needs to be told that it's going to work out for good. And, Lord, I pray for that person who's unemployed, who's really discouraged about it. Lord, in Jesus' name, that they would have a real clarity about the days ahead. And Lord, we pray for our church. We thank you for Valley Church, and we just pray your blessing on it. And Lord, I think of even my lovely neighbor, Lord, I believe he's drawing closer and closer to the kingdom. And so we thank you and we praise you. Have your way in our hearts. And just, Lord, we say, arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered, and let the blessing of the Lord, which makes rich, thank you, Lord, it makes rich. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. So, thank you for being here this morning. It's so great to have you here. There's coffee in the coffee urn here. Help yourself to that. And if you want prayer, please come forward.